Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. I want to look now at the women. We read that these women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, they came early to the grave on the Sunday morning. The Sabbath was over. And they came. They were eager. They were taking a risk. And it was costly what they were doing. But we also know, and this is the point I want to make, we know that they were worried. They were full of questions, full of doubts, full of fears. The first thing we read about them is they were worried very much about who would actually move the stone. Here they were going to the grave, but we read in verse 3, they asked each other, they're talking on the way, who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? This great massive lump of rock, who's going to move it for us? They're worried about that. The stone is beyond them. And their heads are bent. How do we know that? Look at verse 4. But when they looked up, they're cast down like the disciples on the Emmaus road. That's their first fear. They're worrying and doubt about the stone. But of course it's utterly needless, because when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. How often is this true for me? Most of my worries have never happened. I've had the worry. But most of the things I worried about have never happened. It's like Martin Lloyd-Jones said, that man, he said, I've had many worries in my life, most of which have never happened. How often is this the case? These troubles never happened, but they had lived through them, and they doubted. What they intended, they felt sure would happen, didn't. And what they feared never materialized. And it's the same for me. Jesus tells me in Matthew 6, verse 34, to worry about today. If I'm going to worry about anything, think about today. That's what you ought to take your thought about. Not worry, but take thought about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Live a day at a time. Of course, that means anxious thought. We can plan and so on, trusting God. But the truth is, don't let's live tomorrow's worries today. We don't let's go through our fears and doubts like this. The world, the flesh, and the devil tell us to think about the future. They tell us to think about the past. But we should be living in the present. Christ is the God of the Bible. Now, that's what it is. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Then, that worry goes, and then they have another worry. These worries come pouring in upon them. We read in verse 5, they were alarmed. And what now? Because they enter the tomb and they see this angel, a young man dressed in white. And they're alarmed about that. They're alarmed about that. Then, verse 6, don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus and so on. I'm on your side. You see, you've got no need to be alarmed. But they're alarmed about that. Yet again, they're more alarmed. Verse 8, we read, trembling and bewildering, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. We got the picture. These dear women, they're bold, they're courageous, they're taking risks, but in their hearts they're fearful, doubting, questioning, wondering. Somebody said once there is 365 fear nots in the Bible. I'm not sure that's true or not, but there's a good number. Fear not Jacob. Fear not Abraham. Paul was afraid. We're all afraid. But we should not be afraid. We have alarms and doubts and questions. They were afraid. They were fled. Who are these women? They're loyal, they're faithful, but they are anxious. And for me, I'm glad these women are recorded in the Bible, because I'm a fearful, weak, doubting believer. I'm not excusing it, but these are real people. Paul wanted the thorn moved from him. Even Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. People talk about, oh, I have no fears. Well, they're liars. I'll be blunt about it. I'll say they're very rare then. No, they're liars. My hopes and fears all turn at rise, said one hymn writer, and I know what it means. This is it. Who is in charge of the clattering train? That's what we feel. It's all fears and doubts. Now, it should not be, my brother. I'm not excusing it. But I'm saying the Bible is honest. And these women who did so much for Christ, they've been so loyal to him, and they're so generous now and so willing to serve him and wanting to serve him. Nevertheless, they're a weak and feeble people. God has chosen the weak and the feeble and the poor. So are you weak and feeble, brother, sister? Then God may yet use you. But let's pray with Anne Steele. For him, why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? And so on. And he closes with this verse. Forgive my doubts, O gracious Lord, and ease the sorrows of my breast. Speak to my heart the healing word, that thou art mine and I am blessed. I think it's John Newton said, these doubts cast aspersions on the Lord. And I don't want to cast aspersions on the Lord. Forgive my doubts, O gracious Lord, and give me ease within my mind and in my heart and in my breast. May Christ reveal himself to me, and I am blessed. May that be our experience, brother and sister.